cross. The tent, the veil was ripped. The veil was ripped. Look through the veil. Because my son has chosen you. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. But you have received me. Now look through the veil. Look through the ripped veil and see what I have before you. Because I have a land for you, a land to possess. You were once in sin, you were once in Egypt. But when you received me, because you knew what I did for you on that cross, I ripped the veil. I tore it in two. Now look and see. Past that veil, look behind it and over. Look at the hills, look at the valleys. You are no longer in the place of sin. But you've been standing and you're just standing at the veil. I want you to walk through. I want you to walk through and see the land for you to possess. For the Lord watches over that land and He is with you in that land when you walk in that land to possess it. That land does have enemies. But I'm telling you this day, I have given you all power and authority over those enemies. I have given you milk and honey. Look at the hills, look at the valleys, look at the milk and honey. Do not look at the circumstances, but know who your enemy is and know who you are in me. You have exchanged your unrighteousness for my righteousness. You walk in my ways. I am in that land. Go forth and possess it. It is your land. I am with you. When you speak about my promises, speak about it to your children. When you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you're at the table, talk to your children about my promises. And when you talk to your children about my promises, your faith will also arise and you will look and see what I can do through you and what you can do with me, says the Lord God.
As I sat at the gate and interacted with those who had authority, a transaction took place. The sandal was passed over. The land belongs to you. The kinsman redeemer has taken over the land and the people. No longer forsaken, no longer unfathered, but bought with a price, you have become mine. Together we can go forth across the land and bring in the harvest. We are a family, we work together, side by side. What is mine is yours and yours is mine. We reap the harvest together.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, people look to that serpent and we heal and delivered, not destroyed. If we look to him today, we will never be destroyed. In no other position of Christ as his position on the cross will benefit us. Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. You hold in your hand the emblems of the price that was paid for us. Christ gave his life. His blood was shed. The rock was smitten on Calvary's tree. And water and blood flowed out. And sinners plunged beneath that flood will lose their guilt. Their sins will be washed, made white as snow. Enter into the Holy of Holies through the veil of His flesh because of what He has provided for us. What can we do? All we can do is accept it by faith. Trust Him. Hallelujah. That the work of the cross is finished. God has given His Son. His Son has given His life. Hallelujah. We are the recipients of that grace And today we can partake and say, thank you, Lord. I am made righteous because of what you've done. I am delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light because of what you've done. I once was lost. I can see. I was found. I see the eyes that were blinded can now open and see and behold the promises of God and the benefits of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of His benefits. Hallelujah. Crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Satisfies my mouth with good things, that my strength is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. Amen. So we partake today by faith. Reach out to God. Appropriate what God has provided for you and I on Calvary Street. Hallelujah. Bless you. Let's eat and drink together. Thank you. Hallelujah. Where's Andy Campbell? Stand up. Give him a hand. Nice to have you come. Great. My white sister is here with her family. The sheikh, they can stand up so you can welcome them to church. And John and his family are here from Wellington, regular visitors to us, so give them a great hand. Anybody else visiting that I can embarrass? Those from Wangarei. Are you from? Oh, goodness me. I haven't seen them for a long time. Stand up, guys. Welcome them. Yeah. And Tony, come up here. Tony's going to live in the States. When are you going?
Next month.
We're going to pray for her. Father, we thank you for Tony and thank you for the testimony to your grace. She goes from us with her husband to reside in the States. Lord God, we pray that your goodness will follow them. We bless her today as a church. We thank you for her life, and we pray, dear God, that it'll ever shine to the glory of Jesus Christ. Do her good. Bless her and David, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. God bless you. Had a good conference last week. Ben and Karina and Annika and Mr. and Mrs. Cornish, you can come and say something for a minute each about the conference.
One, two, two there. Hello. It wasn't just me, guys. He named you for a reason. They can sit down. So the week just gone, actually. So Monday through to Thursday night, we had the Assemblies of God National Conference in Napier, in Hawke's Bay. And it was the first time that our senior pastor, who is the superintendent of the Assemblies of God, ran the conference. So it was great. So why don't you give him a hand to start off with? If I was to use one word to sum up the entire week, I would say it was refreshing. You know, it's great. We've had some great conferences in the past, but there was something different about this one. There was something about just allowing the Spirit of God to come and minister to pastors across the nation and also celebrating who we are in the Assemblies of God and celebrating the diversity that there is. And right through the whole time, we celebrated that, and it was great. We had members of all the different cultures represented, and it was just a phenomenal time to celebrate that and understand and recognize that's who we are, that we aren't just you know, we aren't just New Zealanders, but we are New Zealanders that have a variety, if that makes sense. And so it was really great to celebrate that we are Kiwis, but within that, we are very different, but we can all work together and do amazing things for the Lord. And so I was really blessed by that and inspired by that. And it's great to see us connecting at a level that maybe there were barriers before. And we're breaking through those barriers and understanding that God is a God of all peoples and all nations. And it was awesome. So that's what I got out of it. I celebrate that. That was awesome.
Yeah, this is one of those conferences, again, where there's so much to take in and so much that happens and so many different things that you can learn, not just from what you hear, but from what you see. And I just overwhelmed and blown away by what took place over the last week, as I always am. One of the things that really stood out for me was the very first night, and the guest speaker, Pastor Steve Murrell, spoke about Absalom, who built a monument to himself. And it really challenged me, because a lot of the time you see people building a monument to themselves. They want to seek their own glory and their own honor. But he built a monument to himself because he said, I have no sons that will carry on my name, that will carry on my legacy. But the crazy thing was that he did have three sons. And so it was more that they didn't take on his spirit. They didn't carry what he had and take that on and pass that on to the next generation. And so it really challenged me, because there's a lot of people that are building monuments themselves, but there's also a lot of people that are building platforms for other people to stand on. And as somebody that I guess I can call myself as the next generation, compared to some of those that were there, there are those that no offense. those guys are building a platform for us younger generation. And the challenge for me was, they can build it, but if I don't stand on it, what's the value in that? And so I was really challenged to make sure that I grasp the hold of everything that I possibly can and make worthwhile what those guys have sown, what they've planted, what they've built for the next generation that are coming up to stand on.
Wow. Yeah, just to add to that, actually, you can either build a platform or a prison. And there was a personal testimony about a father, and his son was in prison, and the father actually built the prison that the son was in. So very, very impacting to realize just what it is that we're building. Are we building a platform, or are we building a prison? Yes, very challenging. Indeed. The thing that really blessed me, there were so many things, but Steve Murrell and our pastor actually spoke about diversity. Pastor Ben, I just want to just state actually what you said, because why change it? Because that's what God spoke to me about, was the unity of the Spirit. They were diverse. We were very diverse. We had lots of cultures that were there. But within that, you know, because sometimes diversity can pull apart, but you maintain the unity of the Spirit, because we connect spirit to spirit. And, yeah, very, very powerful. So though we are many, we are one, bound in the cords of love. Thank God for Jesus. So that's what really blessed me, was even as our pastor, it's a new day, it's a new season for the Assemblies of God movement, and I'm really glad it's not by accident that even you're here today. It's not by accident that you've chosen to be planted in Faith City Church and planted and called Assemblies of God, not ashamed to be Pentecostal. And our pastor is heading it, and it's so cool to be with Dad and be with our father there, and just to see the respect, but more than that, the mana of a man, but to see him honouring, and people honouring each other and respecting each other where they're at. So it was awesome. Thank you.
Our first AIG conference, and not the last. And I just want to thank you to Pastor Eliafi and Fia, just for opening all the doors for us. And the mana of this man when he stood up at that conference just blew the world's leaders away. The speakers, the speaker that came from overseas, he just learned so much from Pastor Eliafi, and we all did. He just stood up there, as he does every day, every Sunday here, and just with that mantle of leadership, but that humility. And it was just a fabulous conference, really glorifying to God. All the speakers just kept pointing to God, and that God is the reason, the season, and our strength, and we can't do it without God. And one, Chris Fowler from Auckland, who's a Baptist, he spoke really powerfully on the last day about Noah, and just saying, just Noah just battled away, and people mocked him, but he just kept going and going and going, and God was his strength, and God was his answer, and God was his salvation.
It's good for me to know that I was at the same conference as all these guys, because God was speaking the same things to me. What would I say that's different? Because I would agree with what Ben said. I would agree with what Karina said. I would agree with what Michelle said and Annika said. It was just a fantastic time. Very refreshing. Very God-centered. A multitude of ethnicities. You know, just a wonderful presence of humanity enjoying God together. Very difficult to put into words. Just a wonderful place to sort of sit there and bathe in it and soak it up. So I really, really appreciated it. Chris Fowler, he went to John chapter 3. You must be born again. Yeah. And he just took us all back there, just to sort of try and find one point that no one else has mentioned. He took us all back there to that incredible place where we say to the Lord, I am yours, come and be my Lord. And that it all starts there. It all begins there, this new life. And it's not that the Lord comes to fix us. He comes to kill us and to give us new life. Yeah? I die daily. And as I do that, I get this incredible new birth, this incredible new life that just unfolds before me. And that for me is just a wonderful moment for me, just to go back there, to reconnect with that first love, and just to think again about this next season that is opening up for me and how I'm going to engage with God in realizing that new life for me. It was just a real blessing. So thanks for the opportunity to go there. We were very, very blessed and very grateful to you all for making that possible, because we all kind of went on behalf of you. And so thank you so much.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got them to talk because I thought they were going to talk until the end of my time. That way we can just go home. But I've still got, goodness me. Praise God. Can I tell them about you guys, what you're going to do? Now, Paul and Michelle are going to take over the church in Hawera, the Assemblies of God church there. And it's great. The Baptist loss is our gain. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you want to say something, honey? Did you want to say something? I'm just slicing down my time. My wife's a better looking half of our family.
Okay, I didn't do this at the first service, but I thought we owe you a gratitude of thank you, a heart that is so full of gratitude, because, you know, what happened last week will not be able to happen without your prayer, without your love, without your trust, without many hours that you mentioned that conference, that mentioned Pastor Ellie, upon before the Lord. Many times you go before the throne room of grace, begging for an anointing for the man of God. Asking God for an ability to lead a woman that so humbly and inadequate to do. Many times you pray on our behalf for wisdom, for strength, for healing, for everything that will enable and equip your pastor to lead the movement. And now we come back with good news, and that you ought to celebrate. We are celebrating your victory. We are celebrating the answers of your prayers. We are celebrating the favor of God upon your life and upon our lives, because you did went before the Lord, and hopefully you will continue to go before the Lord on our behalf. So, Faith City Church, thank you so much for standing with us, before us, and behind us for the glory of God. I just want to thank you.
Well, you can take your mic. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have a look at Psalm 19, I'm going somewhere. I'm just using Psalm 19 as the opening of getting somewhere. We're talking on the pillars of our church. We spoke on fellowship. And then we spoke on the prophetic, a little bit on the fivefold ministry to give you a perspective on what God is doing. And I want today to start speaking on the truth, or Bible-based truth. And I'll just read through Psalm 19. And if I finish it today, that'll be good. If not, we'll just carry on reading it the following Sunday. All right? The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Whether you do that as a human being or not, it doesn't stop the heavens from declaring the glory of God. The heavens will declare the glory of God, and they have declared the glory of God, and will continue to declare the glory of God 24/7. While you have your meal, while I'm eating, while we're sleeping, while we're playing the wallabies, the heavens declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. That tells me there's no such thing as an atheist unless they're dishonest. Why? Because the atheist lives under the heavens, and you live under the heavens. And the heavens declare the glory of God. If you don't, the heavens do. And they declare the glory of God. And the Bible says, and the firmament shows his handiwork. God has written his signature in the firmaments. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows God's handiwork. If you don't believe in God and you turn up before the throne of God and say, I didn't believe you, God's going to say, where did you live? Did you have the skies and the heavens over where you lived? Did you not know that the sky declare my glory? Could you not see that the stars are my signature in the heavens? The clouds, did you know I come like rain, like the former and the latter rain? Did you know that I come in the cloud of glory? Did you have clouds over where you live? Did it rain where you live? Because if it rains, the heavens declare my glory. You can't stand before God and say, I did not know you exist. God puts eternity in the heart of the human being, and the heavens declare the glory of the God that created you and I. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Then it says, day unto day, utter speech. That means the days can speak. It says, the days will speak. Day unto day will utter speech. Hallelujah. And the days actually do speak to us. Why do you put up a Christmas tree? Why do you buy stuff on Christmas for the children on Christmas? Why do you celebrate your birth? Why do we celebrate Easter? Because days actually speak to every one of us. Why did you come to church? Huh? Why do the 7 days Adventists go to? Huh? The days can speak to us. And if you are an American, 9/11 is a day. And the days can instruct us because days actually talk. Are you all right? Hallelujah. Have a look at Job. If I was learning English, I'd say Job. But Job. Hallelujah. Job 32. I'm getting somewhere. I'm just using this as a prelude, all right? I'm heading somewhere. I'm not there yet. I'm just putting on my shoes. And Job was in trouble, and his friends came to speak to Job. And there was a young fella named Elihu or Elihu. In Samoan, it means Elihu. And it says, verse 6, so Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and dare not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak. And the multitude of years should teach wisdom. He said, age should speak. If you've lived for a multitude of years, your ears should teach you some wisdom. Your ears should teach you some experience. And said, he says, age should speak. Multitude of years should teach us. And says, but there is a spirit in man. He said, age should speak, multitude of years should teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise. That's an amazing thing to say. Great men are not always wise men. Some great men are absolute idiots. And nor do the age always understand justice. Therefore, I say, listen to me. He said, listen to me. Young fella. And he's talking to old men, and he said, listen to me. Age should be able to speak. And if you lived a long time, age should tell you a lot of things. Should tell you that you don't always have the strength that you used to. You don't run as fast as you used to. Hallelujah. The bones creak. Why? Because days should speak. So here is this little guy, probably the same as Asher's age. And he said, great men are not always wise. So listen to me. And he said something that's very powerful. He said, why do we listen to young people when they haven't got the age of wisdom to speak? Why should we listen to them? You know what he said? There is a spirit in man. And the spirit, that spirit is the spirit of God. It's a spirit of wisdom. And when it's in a man, when he's in a man, that man can have wisdom beyond his ears, but not because of his ears, because of the spirit. And the spirit was here before you were here, and the Holy Ghost will be here after you're gone. Hallelujah. He said, let age speak. And the Bible says, day unto day utters speech. Are you okay? It should be able to teach us certain things that we don't know, that in turn we may turn around and teach others, because we've got ears under our belt. And the ears should teach us wisdom. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Go back to Psalm 19. I'm still reading. It says, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Now that's an amazing thing to say. It says, the day speak, but the night gives revelation. It says, there's revelation at night. The Bible says there are treasures in the dark places, and even in your dark moments, there are revelations that God will reveal to you. When Jacob laid at loose, his head on a pillow, he's missing his home, he's on his own, it's in a dark place, and God revealed to him in that dark moment, and when he woke up, he said, God was here, and God is here, but I did not know it. Why? Because in the dark places of our lives, at night, God can reveal things to you that he doesn't talk to you about them during the day. Hallelujah. Say amen. Many dark experiences, God turns up and something happens. Hallelujah. Are you okay? One of the greatest things God can teach us at night is death. See, you live during the day, but you die at night. If every moment is a day, and every day is a lifetime, then you're born in the morning and you die at night. And you practice that every day, and every night you are practicing to die. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. What would have happened if you never woke up this morning? The only reason you know you're alive is because you actually woke up this morning. If you never woke up, hello? And every day, God gives us a day and a night to practice birth, to practice, because you die at night and you are resurrected in the morning. Salvation is when God kills you and resurrects you. God does not come to renovate you. And every night you practice to die, so that when you die, death, grave, hello, we cry. You know why you cry? Because you don't know what's happening. You know why the person in the coffin doesn't cry? They haven't got time to cry. It's us that cry. The Bible says, to God, one day is as a thousand years. That means God can teach you in one day what can happen in a thousand years. God can teach you in one sleep what it's like to die and resurrect you in the morning. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. It says, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There's no speech nor language where the voice of day and night is not heard. Hey, they can speak Maori, speak Korean, speak Mandarin, speak Russian, speak Samoan, speak in tongues. They can speak in a Baptist church, in a Brethren church, in a Pentecostal church, in any kind of church. Hallelujah. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. To the end of the world. They speak to the end of the world. Even if you say, well, nobody ever preached to me. Well, they preach. They know your language. The night preaches. Hallelujah. In them, in day and night, God has set a tabernacle for the sun. The regulating of the sun coming in and out is regulated by day and night. Which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuits to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. You can't stand before God and say, God, I did not know. Did you have a son in where you live? From one end of the earth, of the heavens, to the other end of the heavens. Nothing is hidden from the sun, and nothing is hidden from the heat of the sun. You need a PhD to disbelieve God. Everyone with a common sense knows God. Hallelujah. In verse 7, God changes. God changed something. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, every time you see that the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, all those are titles of the word of God. But God now changes from that book that is called creation to this book that the Jews call the Torah. So from that book to this book. If you can't read this book, you can read that book. If you can't read that book, you can read this book. But that book and this book all declare the glory of God. I'm not angry, just trying to make a point. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The soul. You mean to tell me my soul needs converting? Yes. Our souls need to be converted. You have to be born again. You must be born again. You can't just amble your way into heaven. I can't just amble my way into New Zealand. And I can't bring Samoa into New Zealand. I have to leave Samoa and turn up in New Zealand. You can't just turn up in heaven. Are you all right? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony of God will make you wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than the cell phones. If the young people can read their Bibles the same way they read their texts, they will be powerful in God. If every time you read a text, you read the Bible, I wonder why they call it texts. Maybe you need to read a text every time you read a text. But it says, more to be desired. This word of God is to be desired more than gold. Now, many of us spend at the very least, 8 hours every day trying to find some gold. We try to find some money and we pursue the stuff like our lives depend on it. And we go hell or high water trying to find some money. Yet the Bible says, your desire for the Word of God, more to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. What's sweet to your taste? Rhubarb? Rhubarb crumble. Rhubarb crumble. Let it crumble. They say they're good for you. Rhubarb crumble with ice cream. Come out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For all those who are rhubarb lovers. For all those who are sane. I like it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And then he says, moreover than the fact that they are wealthy and valuable, moreover than the fact that they're sweet, it says, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them there is great reward. The Word. God has two books. It's that book and this book. And they all declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. Then it says, who can understand his faults or his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Who can understand his errors? You don't know. Why? Because things that I do in my culture are different from the things you do in your culture. Who's right and who's wrong? You're right and I'm right. It says that we offend others, but we do things without knowing. I mean, you can eat rhubarb without knowing it comes up with the thistles when Adam fell. And who can understand his errors? And I don't judge you on that. If you want to eat it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm sure it tastes good to some of you. Just because you have no taste does not. No, it's a taste. Hallelujah. One day we were having a get together at a hotel in Rotorua. There were some very significant Christian leaders there, and they asked me to come. They didn't ask me to come because I was a Christian leader. Great, I was just a rookie starting out in ministry. They just thought I was it was nice to have me come. So I thanked them for allowing me to come, and I was eating, they were eating, and somebody asked me a question, and I just totally ignored the question. I carried on eating, and the wife of the one that was chairing the get-together, his wife, very sophisticated lady, very well-to-do lady, very educated lady, very wealthy, the couple very wealthy. And she said to me, she said, Illy, aren't you going to talk to Jonathan? I said, nope. She said, why not? She said, because I'm eating. I've only got one mouth, and right now I'm using my mouth to eat. When I finish eating, I'll talk to Jonathan, and then carried on eating. She got her first cultural lesson that day. That some cultures you eat and talk, some cultures you eat, and then you talk. In some cultures you eat standing up, in other cultures you eat sitting down. And if you stand and eat over somebody from another culture, who can understand his errors? Sometimes we don't. We are blinded by our own, we get inebriated by our own verbosity sometimes. Did you understand what I just said? Oh, good. My wife said no. We get blinded by our own values and our own culture. And sometimes it's great to understand where others are coming from because we don't know our own errors. Hallelujah. Those who eat rhubarb, we probably think, yes, damn. How can you not eat that stuff? It's nice. There is no way you can make rhubarb nice for me. A lot of people said, if you put ice cream in it, I don't care what you put in the thing. It's not nice. And Mrs. Lewis will tell you that. Yeah. He says, give back your servant also. Never mind. Hallelujah. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. I haven't got time to develop that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But God has two books. That one and this one. And this one tells you all the titles of what the book is about. It's a commandment, it's a precept, it's statutes, it's the Word of God. And more is discussed in Psalm 119 about this Word and the benefits of this Word. The Bible says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Its leaves shall not wither. Its fruit comes in season. The leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he does. Now, you can't do that with any other academic discipline. The only discipline that will prosper you in everything that you do, whether you're Maori, Korean, European, or Samoan, if you would meditate in the Word of God day and night, just eat in between, but day and night, if you make the Word of God your priority day and night, it will be like, you will be like a tree that has evergreen leaves. They will never wither. You will bear fruit in your season. Hallelujah. And whatever you do shall prosper. But it all has to do with the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, the heavens will pass away. Wanganui will be no more. But not one tittle, not one dot of this law will ever pass until everything's fulfilled. Not one tittle or dot. What is that? It's like the dot on the I and the cross on the T. He says, no cross on the T of the law, no dot on the I of the law will ever pass. The heavens will pass. The heavens that declare the glory will pass. The earth that you're standing on will pass. But this word will not. Now, how powerful is that? There is nothing more enduring than this.
Thy word is settled in heaven forever. Forever. This word is settled. It is not going to be settled. It is already settled. And it's not settled in Washington, D.C. It's not settled in Wellington. It is settled in heaven forever. If you want to put your faith on something that is enduring, put your faith on the Word of God and put your faith on God. Faith cometh by and hearing by the Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Many times we put our faith on silly things instead of putting our trust on God, on His Word. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Thy Word is a lamp and a light. Where's your lamp? Where's your light? Well, the Bible did not put that there to just fill up the pages. Why? Because your feet, your path is not lit unless you have the Word of God. You stumble during the day, but when you have the Word of God, your paths will be lit. There will be a lamp for your feet. Otherwise, we walk in darkness and have no light. Hallelujah. Value this word. It's a pillar of our church. I had an old wise man said to me when he inducted me, and he said to me, there are many fads, there are many tangents. He said, whatever you do, preach the Bible. Hallelujah. We have more Bibles now than ever before. Some people had three or four. And then they have them in laptops, have them in their cell phones, in their iPads, and whatever kind of eye they've got. Hallelujah. And yet, according to Barna researchers, we live in the most biblically illiterate generation of the church. With all the Bibles we have, we don't have the Word of God in us. Thy Word have I hid in my Bible. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Sin is rampant even in the church. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. They surveyed church-going believers in America and asked them a number of questions. It's amazing what their answer is. Close to 50% of them said, well, not, that's not correct. Over 50% of them said that the Sermon on the Mountain was preached by Billy Graham. They asked them, who's Joan of Arc? You know what they said? That's Noah's wife. These, don't laugh. That's no laughing. These are church-going, Bible-believing people, yet they don't know what's in the book. Get in the Bible. If you come to this church, you will get knocked around with the Bible. It'll be preached. It'll be talked about. But if you don't like the Bible, find another church. Because if you come to this church, that's what you'll get. Are you all right? The service is finished. We'll see you tonight. How about 6:00?